Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geeks Deep. I'm Marika.
And my name is Kelly.
How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm excited. Season 3.
I know!
Did you think we'd get this far when we started the podcast?
In no way at all. No, you're right. I didn't really think about it. But yeah, no, I didn't think we'd make it to season 3 when we started, certainly. I didn't even know how we were going to record a single episode.
It was a lot of learning. But, you know, 50 plus fandoms later?
I know, it's kind of, when you put it like that, it is kind of, it's an achievement. We should pat ourselves on the back. I'm proud of us. I'm still so happy to be here and to be doing this. But yeah, season 3, here we are. Finally made it.
I think before we get into the meat of the episode, maybe some housekeeping for our, longtime listeners who are used to us releasing weekly.
I mean, our longtime listeners are used to us releasing weekly, not releasing at all, releasing every 2 weeks. It's been, last year was complex, but I think we've acknowledged some things about ourselves, Kelly. I'm proud of us that, like, look, as much as we want to have an episode every week, we just can't do it. We can't sustain it. We both have full-time jobs and lots of other things pulling us in many different directions. So we're going to go with bi-weekly.
And I think that's smart. It's going to give us more time to, like, really digest our fandoms. As we explained after our, like, weird hiatus in season 2, we don't want to have a giant backlog of pre-record episodes. It doesn't work for the spirit of what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Not every fandom we cover is going to be something that is, airing in 2023 or in the recent memory of, the mass nerd collective. Mm-hmm. So something, from the 80s, like what we're doing today, maybe doesn't necessarily have to be recorded recently, but it kind of stifles what we're able to do in terms of, like, talking about what's going on in the world, and because that can be really relevant. Mm-hmm. Or there's just layers to why a backlog wasn't smart for us, but it also isn't realistic for us to record every week.
Not at all. Not at all. And I do kind of feel that we've also reduced the amount of episodes we're doing for season 3. And I'm really happy for that, because as much as I love to backlog with you, that also means that I have to watch so much more or read so much more before we actually record in here. I've been able to take my time with the fandoms, and I like that. I like giving them their own space to breathe. Mm-hmm. For all of those reasons, every 2 weeks you're gonna hear from us. We have the entire season planned out. It doesn't mean that we don't want to hear any suggestions or recommendations. We've swapped things out at the last minute for certain. I'm excited to start this new batch with you.
And with that in mind, we're going to cover a new fandom today. A pretty massive one, I think.
Yes.
But before that, what are you drinking, Marika?
I am drinking Dessert by Debs Japanese milk. No, sorry. Japanese hojicha milk bread. Because I got here today and the weather's crummy.
Yeah.
And I just needed, I needed something grounding, but that would make me smile. And this tea is doing it for me, because it's not, yes, it is flavored, but it's not overly flavored. It's an interesting blend of green and oolong, I believe. Yeah, yep. Green and oolong, which has got a nice kind of grounding effect that I wanted without it being, like, depressing, earthy. So just a comforting, bright cup for the day. It's going to ease me into it. Nothing to do with our fandom, even remotely, but it set the tone for the day. How about you? What's in your mug?
I'm drinking the Orthodox Smoked Black Tea from Ketley, India today.
I see that no longer drinking smoked teas is on the table for you. Episode 1, Season 3, you are back.
New season, new rules. I'm really glad that I went the entirety of season 2 without doing anything smoked, because, if you listen to our season 1, it was a heavy reoccurring theme for both of us.
Truly, truly.
And I liked the challenge of not being able to use that as a crutch with my pairings. But there were fandoms where, let's just be honest, a smoked tea would have been the best pick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to embrace it this season. I'm going to try not to dip too heavily in the smoked teas. We all know that is a real, real comfort spot for me. But if it's appropriate, then I'm going to use it.
Excellent. Well, I approve and I'm excited. Well, much luck to you. I'm interested to see the ratio of smoked teas that are going to make it in this season. Do you have any other restrictions placed on yourself for season three? Any new challenge I should be aware of?
I guess I'm not going to call it a rule, but I really want to try to explore more tea companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think season two, and also we'll continue this with future episodes in season three, we really challenged ourselves to explore new mediums of fandoms, mm-hmm, and new genres. I think we did a great job of covering things that maybe were not conventionally thought of as fandoms, or, you know, the popular media of, you know, like music, for example.
Right.
We really debated, like, are we going to do a music episode?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we opened that door.
Agreed. Agreed.
But I do feel like there was, like, a set of tea companies that I thought I explored a lot within season two. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. There are tea companies I love. That's why I have so many teas from them. But I have teas from a lot of tea companies. I passed 2,000 teas over the winter.
Whoa. Yeah, we're there.
We're there.
We're there.
So I guess a personal challenge for me is just to highlight more different tea companies this year.
I'm really happy you said that, because there are so many tea companies out there to discover. But also, just from like a personal standpoint, my 2023 resolution has been to not buy any new teas.
And I know how that's gone.
It's early in the year and it hasn't been easy already. Wow, it has not been easy already. I just for many different reasons, I need to sip down. I need to go through what I have. And I think that a lot of the times I'm focused on the tea and I haven't been focused on other areas in the tea world as much. So I'm kind of hoping to, I don't know, read a few more books. Not that I need to read more books on tea, but, you know, read a few more books or do tea wear. So I'm happy that you're exploring more tea companies, because ultimately I may be having a cup or two from your stash from these companies, but I'm going in a completely different direction, which is really kind of restricting my consumption. So we're on two different paths and we'll see at the end what comes of it. I think that'll be really interesting.
I agree.
Interesting. All right. Well, with all of that being said, shall we dive into today's fandom?
Yeah, we are covering Transformers. I feel like this feels like Power Rangers for me.
Okay, in what way? I mean, I can see it, but like, in what way?
It's one of those mega fandoms, mm-hmm, that I think spans generations,
mm-hmm,
is still going strong despite an origin in the 80s. You know, we'll get more into the history and the What the Geek in just a second. But for me, how do you not know it? It's so big. And yet, I've never really looked at it.
Right.
And that's how I felt about Power Rangers when we covered Power Rangers.
Okay, I can see that. That's interesting, because I guess I also have a Power Rangers feeling about it, but not at all related to yours, just very much related to my own personal history. Again, the age difference rears its ugly head. But my parents didn't buy me a lot of toys growing up, and that's not a boohoo story. There's a reason behind that, one that I won't get into. But my parents were very, very particular about what toys I would get. Very particular about what toys me and my brother would play with. And I just remember my first memory of asking my dad for a Transformer and him not hesitating at all. There was no, like, what is it? Like, he clearly knew about it. And so my first introduction was, like, at the age of, I guess I must have been 4 or 5, having an Optimus Prime. I remember owning an Optimus Prime. And it was the coolest toy you could possibly own. Like, it just, you turned it into a truck, you turned it into a robot. It was awesome. It was awesome. So in that same way that it's part of my memory bank, it's part of my history, but I never delved into the fandom. I knew the name Optimus Prime, kind of end of list. You know, even during the whole watching, I keep forgetting the name of the two clans of robots. Like, in my notes, it's just a cacophonous mess. I'm just like, who is this? Who is that? But yeah, I don't know how you don't know it, especially if you're like my age, you grew up in the 80s. Transformers were the hottest toy out there for a good 5 or 6 years. The cartoons were everywhere. And then, was it Jerry Bruckheimer who did the latest Transformer movies?
Or? Oh, fuck if I know. I know. There's been so many iterations. Why don't we just get into the What the Geek?
Let's get into the What the Geek, yeah. And we'll
go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
So I guess a quick caveat that I don't necessarily want to get into the entirety of the backstory of Transformers, because when I started to do my research for our What the Geek, not only the Transformers wiki, which is its own wiki, they have a fan wiki, but the actual wiki, it is the most in-depth, lore-packed, big, monstrous wiki of any fandom I've gone to research for any episode.
That's unbelievable to me.
So if we covered, you know, all the publication of various Transformers media, the history of the toys, that probably would be like half our episode. It would be like essays worth of content.
Wow.
So I'm going to focus specifically on Transformers Generation 1. So with that in mind, Transformers, largely known by the fan-coined name Transformers Generation 1 or Transformers G1, is an American animated series based upon Hasbro's commercially successful toy line of the same name. Originally airing from September 1984 to November of 1987, the first series depicts the ongoing war between the heroic Autobots and the villainous Decepticons, giant alien robots from the planet Cybertron who possess the ability to transform into vehicles and other constructs such as insects, construction equipment, guns, and dinosaurs. The series was produced by Sunbow Productions and Marvel Studios. For the first two seasons, Japanese studio Toei Animation was both co-producer and the main animation studio for the series, though their involvement was reduced in the third season onwards as Acom, a South Korean studio, became more involved with both production and animation. As of the fourth season, Acom was the sole animator for the series. In addition to four seasons, a supplemental movie was also released between the second and third season. Both the toy line and main series took inspiration from Japanese toy producer Takara's Diaclone sub-product line of the Microman toy series, a science fiction action figure often sold with accompanying robotic vehicle playsets. Though the initial Transformers toy line was released in tandem with the three-part pilot episode, the series was used as a way to introduce several new characters from the upcoming 1985 product line. This included characters such as Skyfire and the massively popular Dinobots, as well as the Constructicons, the first team of toys capable of merging together into a larger mecha. In total, the first series features 28 different characters, each with their own accompanying toys, 18 Autobots and 10 Decepticons.
So I know that was like a wrap-up of all of the information. And thank you again for doing all the research and the legwork on this. Even that is like way more in-depth than anything I knew about the Transformers. But I think it does speak to its reach that I felt like I knew them pretty well, having grown up with them, having watched it, having liked it. And just your What the Geek, I was like, huh. Yeah, there's all that other stuff. It's such a big world. And I know we've said that about a lot of fandoms, but this one feels, like you said, just really, really, really big.
I think its fans take it very seriously. And that's not to say fans of other, you know, shows, movies, books don't. But there was so much lore when I started doing this research. People had entire essays devoted to why certain characters took the shape of specific vehicles.
Right.
You know, I could have wrote an entire page specifically about like the Microman inspiration.
Okay.
Because they were like licensed by Hasbro.
Right.
the initial toy line were literally just recolors of the Microman toys. Like, there was so many threads to pick at, and I felt like I knew Transformers pretty well. I could have named the Autobots, the Decepticons. I even knew the planet they came from.
Right.
I think I easily could have named, like, 10 characters. I've, like, mm-hmm. watched the first live-action movie, and I'm confident I've probably seen at least one of the animated series, like, an episode or two, just as a child being on the TV. But then we got into the episodes and started watching, and I was like, oh, I don't think I got just how much there, like, 28 characters in one season.
Yeah.
The one 13 episode season.
And I mean, 28 characters, I mean, I want to take the kind of cynical approach of, you know, this started with a toy. So are these characters or are these marketing attempts to get people into it? But the more I watched it, the more I was like, there's something else here. There's something bigger than just marketing of a toy or a toy company. So just let's let people know what we watched. We watched season one's episodes 1-3. So the first three episodes, setting the stage. Season one, episode 11, War of the Dinobots. Season one, episode 13, Fire in the Sky. Kelly, my first question to you is, why did we watch these episodes? So, because this is new to us. So when I saw the list, I assumed it was just going to be like, watch the first five episodes kind of thing. And then it was like, I'm bouncing around. What happened?
I thought it made sense for us to do the pilot. We usually always do the pilot when we do a new show. It's one of those, like, why wouldn't you? It's a foundational, usually it's very expositional, but going into a Phantom, you need the exposition. In this case, it's a three-part pilot. It's the biggest pilot we've ever covered. Yes, short episodes, but I don't think we've ever done more than a two-part anything.
Right.
And then I wanted to do more than just the pilot, because usually we try to do, you know, 3-4 episodes. But if the pilot is three episodes, right, then it felt weird to do the pilot plus one. I figured mm-hmm. that wouldn't give us enough context. So I tried looking, without spoiling for myself, to see if there was a general, like, oh, if you're going to watch, these are the ones to watch.
Right.
So I went on, like, the Transformers Reddit. Right. A bunch of different sources, just to try and find names of episodes that seem to be really popular. And the two episodes that consistently, across, like, 9 different sources, were always in the top 5, like, best Transformers episodes were these two.
Okay. Okay. I was like,
great. In we go. I'm not going to look up the episodes. We'll just roll with what the fans like.
Okay. Well, okay. So that helps. I mean, I'm going to say it right away. I enjoyed this watch. I had a very easy time doing this watch. But it's nice to know that we kind of did watch, like, the best of the best, or at least what, like, consensus internet says, these are the episodes you should be watching. I don't know about you, I haven't taken this many notes in a long, long ass time. I've got 3 pages of typed up notes.
I struggled to take notes.
Okay.
And you've already said you had a good watch. I don't know that I had a bad watch,
mm-hmm.
but I had a watch that was off to a really rocky start. The pilot was rough for me.
Okay.
I found the pacing really weird.
Okay.
I felt like I was blinking, and I'd blink and we'd be on a totally different set.
Okay.
You know, with a totally different group of characters. And I didn't know who any of them were, and they all kind of looked the same.
I am going to respond to that by saying, yeah, so what's your problem? Which is crazy, because usually that's, like, my number one issue with, like, animes or mangas. I'm always like, what's going on? It's going too fast. And with this, I'm going to just read you my first 3 notes, okay? This song is banging.
I did like the theme. Theme, great.
The voiceover is banging. I was just like, it was like minute one, I was in. I was 100% in. And I think the point you just made of, like, I would blink and I would be somewhere else, and then there'd be a bunch of new characters that, like, you'd feel like you were supposed to know but there was no backlog information, anything. I just kind of ran with it. I embraced it from the minute go because I was already like, this is going to be kind of stupid in the best way. And I loved it from like second one. I also was missing, though, a bowl of cereal. Like, I think this is nostalgia at its finest. This is nostalgia, like, encapsulated, boxed in. And I was like, oh, I should be watching this on the floor in my pajamas with a bowl of, like, Corn Pops. 100%. I should not be watching this, like, as an adult with a cup of tea.
That's fair. It is incredibly nostalgic. It feels understandably drenched in the 80s.
Yes.
And I did love that about it. I think, in a way, though, I'm very spoiled by the fact that I of the two of us, I watch more animated content than you do by
absolutely,
far.
Absolutely.
And I think I was really spoiled by the amount of, like, Gundam-focused anime I've watched, Magical Girl anime. Like, the animation I felt was a little choppy, even for the 80s. The pacing was pretty bad, I thought, in the pilot. It got better. Mm-hmm. We'll get into the other two episodes, and the pacing absolutely got better. And I was really underwhelmed by the transformation sequences. Because it took, like, a second, and yes, the robots just kind of squished down into their thing.
Right.
And I was expecting, like, frills, showmanship. Okay. I don't know. I guess I'm used to...
Not just, like, a transformer in a wide shot, just, like, do-do-do-it. Like, they did it in three moves. It was always, like, three moves, and they were done.
Mm-hmm. I'm used to, you know, I'll use, like, Digimon, I guess, as an example, because that probably is the thing I was first exposed to in terms of these sequences, where conservatively a quarter of the show is dedicated to, like, the cool visual of that transformation. And here it was, like, a second, 2 second,
right,
doot-doot, squash, and now it's a robot.
Yes. On board. I was 100% on board with that. I don't know if it's because I like it to be, like, expedient. I'm like, great, you're a car now.
It also bugged me a little bit that some of the robots had clear voice modulation layered over, and some of them didn't.
It bothered me that some of them had mouths, and others had, like, really cool, like, ninja mask situations. I didn't want to see anybody's mouth. That weirded me out. I don't know why that weirded me out, but I was like, I want to see... You're not human. Why do you need a mouse that works like a mouse? There's no reason for that. You know? No, the whole... Okay, you want to hit it where... Okay. Because I just immediately started nitpicking and then went, Marika, you got to turn that off. You got to turn that off because that has nothing to do... There's no logic. Why do they need cars? Why don't they all fly? Why don't they all turn into jets? What is this planet they're from that they're so car dependent? They go to space, Kelly, but they turn into cars, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that. You know, like, as soon as that kind of shit started happening, where it's like, oh no, there's a barricade. Dude, you're a robot. Like, jump over the barricade. No, but I'm a car now. What? You know what I mean? Like, I let go of logic almost immediately because I was like, I can't handle this.
I have a hard time doing that. You know that about
me. I know.
I think the place I gave it grace, because one of the other things that initially bugged me was, like, if you're an alien planet of cars and planes and guns and cassette tapes and...
Cassette tapes. That was a good one. Okay, sorry. Yes.
Etc. How do you know what a cassette tape is? How do you know what an ambulance is?
Exactly.
But I let that one go because I was like, I have done some research. I know how much lore is here. And there's no way that question isn't answered somewhere if I only watched the entirety of the series.
Agreed. And here's the thing that I found so amazing about this show. And why I understand deeply why it has so much lore. It's this magical thing that happened And I mean this as a compliment. I really do. There are so many plot holes in this fandom that the mind of a child or the mind of someone who's deeply invested in the coolness of these characters has no problem filling those plot holes because it's not even gaps anymore. It just doesn't exist. And I understood watching it and creating my own fan fiction and playing with those toys, like old school, like a kid just playing with toys and being like, Optimus Prime, you did that. It's like, it leaves like an open canvas for fans to just do whatever. And I immediately really got enchanted by the playability of the fandom.
Yeah.
Of the malleability of the fandom, of how you could really kind of make it your own and you could make it whatever you want. And then these things become canon after and whatever. But that first pilot, I was like, oh, that's how you got us. You got us as viewers through the ability to be like, well, why would he need a car? Or you know, why are the Decepticons so angry? Like, what are you angry about? You know, or it was so huge that I was like, yeah, I could see how people get into it because they can you can bring a real part of yourself into it.
I will agree with that. I think from the moment we started watching, I got how this made the toy line successful and vice versa. It, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I guess we've given a bit more of an overview, focused a little bit on the pilot. I mean, we didn't actually talk about the plot of the pilot.
Who gives a shit? I have several questions. I don't care. And that's like, look, they're from a robotic planet. Then they get into like a space fight with a comet. I think that's what happens. And then they fall asleep for 4.5 million years. And then they wake up like near Earth and go to Earth. The Decepticons want our energy, and they'll take it in any way they can get it. It seemed like they were looking for, like, heat from the Earth's center, petroleum, weird crystals we didn't know where they... Like, they need energy to go back home, but the Autobots aren't gonna let that happen, because if they take all the energy they need, like, Earth is just fucked, and so Optimus Prime and his gang of do-gooders are gonna stop the Decepticons at every turn. It's a great premise. It's a simple premise.
Yeah.
On board. Several glaring plot holes almost every single time.
They meet two humans, Spike and Spark Plug,
who wear the same clothes, even though they're no longer in construction or working on an oil rig. Mm-hmm. But doesn't matter.
I have to say my favorite part of the entire pilot, and maybe this is a little bit of a jab at, I guess, the real world, was Spike's, like, monologue at the end as he's writing in his diary.
Mm-hmm.
And basically saying, the government has agreed to let the Transformers...
Wait. All governments. Not just the government. Mm-hmm.
The government has agreed to let the Transformers stay on Earth and help us. And then he, like, follows that with, and it's the fastest all governments on Earth have ever agreed to one thing. And it's hilarious and so optimistic. And also, like, how?
How?
How did North Korea get on board with the robots?
Of all the countries you could have picked, I feel like North Korea would be down with them. But they'd also be helping. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's just like these glaring omissions. Like, they don't care. It was written from the perspective of, like, oh, it's for kids, like, who cares? And then, like, the kids kind of took it and made a whole world around it. And there's something, I'm going to tear up, there's something beautiful about millions of kids looking at something and creating a whole world around it. I mean, that's what you want, is, like, that imagination to thrive and that imagination to be piqued. But, yeah, looking at it from, like, an adult perspective, I don't know. It's good, bad. It's bad, good. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's very unique.
I think you've touched on something, though, with, like, the fans. I kind of got into it, but didn't get into it in our What the Geek. You know, this series, the animated series we watched, this first one, was originally just called Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And fans coined the term Transformers Generation 1 after the second series came out and was, like, very different. And it was a fan-coined term that was adopted by the, like, by Hasbro.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of its popularity and the presence in which, like, fans used it. They had so much influence that they got an entire, like, multi-million dollar corporation to be like, yeah, okay, this is what this is called now.
Yeah, they had that much influence because they were the only ones who knew what was going on plot-wise, Kelly. Like, clearly only the fan. The show wasn't providing it to us. I mean, half of my notes are really just, like, not digs, but just, I mean, one of them here is like, oh, there's an Autobot named Cliff Jumper. I wonder what he does. You know, sometimes it's just like, is that all he can do? Is that all he does? So the studio or whoever produced it were really very simplistic in that way, where it's just like, this Autobot is called Cliff Jumper, and he jumps cliffs. End of story. And I feel like the fans took that and gave it, breathed new life into it and gave it, you know,
I mean,
more meaning.
For every Cliff Jumper, though, you have Bumblebee, where you're like,
nah. No, my favorite, sorry, and I'm jumping to, like, the last episode here, that we watched, Starscream of the Decepticons was a scientist.
Yeah.
You're telling me halfway through season one that the Decepticon who's like, I'm going to kill you all, was, like, used to be a scientist? They were just throwing things at the wall at that point, right? I mean, they weren't thinking straight. Because you have Cliff Jumper, so we know what he does, right? If you are, I guess, born a Decepticon or like...
I guess I'm making an assumption based on the Dinobots episode, but it looks like they create themselves.
They create themselves. Okay, so you intentionally create a Decepticon named Starscream, and then you, like, make him a scientist?
It's an interesting choice, but same process of logic. The other main character in that episode, we're jumping now, but was Skyfire.
Skyfire.
Also a scientist.
That is also a note, but Skyfire, scientist, I thought of Oppenheimer, you know what I mean? I thought, oh, not all scientists are good, but Starscream was the one that really set it off for me. But, yeah, I just...
I guess let's dial back.
Also, I'm sorry. Sorry, they all need to get home. They need to get home to, what's the name of their planet?
Cybertron.
It's been 4.5 million years, you guys. I don't want to be like a pessimist, but Cybertron may not be there anymore.
Or it's probably pretty different.
Or it's really different. Like, you guys still have cassette players. I'm just saying, in 4.5 million years, they're definitely like on Blu-ray or whatever. You know,
Airbud Transformer.
Exactly. It's. I wanted to tell the Decepticons, hey, find yourself a small island. Just relax. I don't know why you need to go back there so much. So yeah, every once in a while, like my adult brain would intrude, but then I was immediately back in with just like over the top dialogue and really radical simplification of complex ideas. Just, it was great. It was great.
I mean, let's talk about the Dinobots, because, like...
Oh, right, they happened.
Well, the pilot lost me. Didn't love the pilot. Immediately back on board when I saw the Dinobots.
I didn't care about the Dinobots.
Oh, I thought they were great.
What's the logic of having a Dinobot?
Why not?
But they just build a tank.
That's where I let go.
Oh, that's okay.
That's where I was like, okay, why is the ambulance not the leader? You know, the semi-truck? The semi-truck's the leader? It should be the ambulance.
Okay, but also, like, or, like, he was way police... bigger. He was just bigger.
Yeah.
He was just bigger. Optimus is, like, twice as big as everyone else.
So build a big ambulance or a big police truck or
that's
whatever.
That's true. That's
why
true.
Why is the semi-truck the leader?
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. It was the 80s.
Not to shit on semi-drivers.
But
let's just, like, if you're gonna rank.
I have more respect for semi-drivers than I do for, like, just giant trucks. I'm treating it as an inanimate object here.
Anyway, all that to say, when I saw that there was a pterodactyl transformer, or, you know, a T-Rex, that's where I was like, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I'm down.
He didn't care.
They were so dumb in, like, the most endearing way. His name was Swoop.
But why would they? That's the thing I didn't understand with the Dinobots. A, everyone's got wheels or wings. I don't know what the thinking is here with, like, slow running, but okay, fine. Or flying with the pterodactyl. Why give them rudimentary conscience and self-awareness?
I guess...
It's a larger question, I understand, but I'm just like, if you're building something to be, like, powerful and kind of mindless, why would it need to be, like, aware of its allegiances? Like, wouldn't you just program... That's where I had a... That episode is actually the episode where a lot more questions started coming up, where I was like, I don't understand the logic of... Were there dinosaurs on your planet where you came from? Or, like, you came to Earth and went... to, like, the Natural History Museum.
That's fair. We did miss, we watched technically the second Dinobot episode. Okay. There's another one earlier in the season called SOS Dinobots.
Okay.
And I almost put that on our list, but War of the Dinobots was actually ranked higher okay. by fans. So I was like, all right, like, we'll do that one. But maybe we would have had more questions answered if we'd watched the Dinobots origin episode.
I mean, it's a lot of faith you're placing in a 20-minute children's cartoon. But yeah, maybe there is a lot more backstory. It would take a lot to get me on board with these things.
I liked the dinosaurs.
Who doesn't like dinosaurs? But okay,
they were like Grimmsnarl, Swoop. Like, yeah. I don't remember all of the names, but I was like, oh, that's so delightfully dumb, and I love it.
Okay, cool. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for everyone who likes the Dinobots, because I know people are really excited about them. I know people really, really like the Dinobots.
I
didn't hate them. I didn't, like, get upset. They just, they raised more questions than anything else for me.
Of the weird, like, sub-bot collective. I guess.
Right.
I think the Dinobots are the most popular. Because there's Insecticons, which are, like, all insects.
Okay.
The Constructicons, which I believe are construction equipment that fuses together. Right. And I know there are others, but I think, based on my research, Dinobots is, like, the big fan favorite.
Okay. Okay, well, great. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'm trying to look over my notes to see if there's anything else I need to discuss.
I mean, with the third episode, what I did appreciate about it is it kind of introduced, for lack of a better phrase, like, some morality behind the division of Autobot versus Decepticon with Starfire. Who was a Decepticon, but was a Decepticon who didn't believe in Decepticon values. That was interesting to me because I felt like with more time, that would have been a really interesting thread. Because otherwise, they'd just kind of been positioned as, like, Autobots good, Decepticons bad, shoot, Autobots win.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, no, there was a kind of nuance. One that I expected because... That's the thing, I kind of expected that episode to come along at some point just because they are emotional robots. They make emotional decisions. These are not, you know, I don't know what the term is now. I haven't been keeping up with, like, the android v robot, like, terminology. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not just pure logic. These are beings with, like, a conscience and value system. And if you create that, then ultimately, in any kind of good storytelling, you want to test that out. You want to test out how much people adhere to their values and, you know, nature versus nurture and et cetera, et cetera. So I was expecting that episode. I was still delighted by its execution. Gotta love something that happens in the North Pole. Always feel like underutilized space and very good for giant robots. This was the episode where I finally asked myself about why the need for hand-to-hand combat kept coming up.
I guess...
Is it because there was no Wi-Fi in the 80s? That's, like, that's where I reached in my conclusion.
So I guess that is a logical answer. To me, the simplest answer is that that's the most easy for a child to recreate with play.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, because when they're in the North Pole and they picked up, like, the green crystal thing that they found and they started using it as, like, clubs to beat each other, I was like, why? Like, why do you need... You don't... You're a robot. Like, you could just... I don't know why you're punching them, but when you punch, it should have the force of, like...
A semi-truck,
yes. Like, why do you need this crystal? But I guess that makes it more visually understandable to children.
Well, and
again, Marika, this was for children, not your pure selfish enjoyment.
I mean, maybe not, but I've definitely been the child. Maybe you've been the child who had two action figures who just mashed them together over and over and was like, they're fighting.
Maybe. I don't remember that. I remember my action figures having a lot of talking, unsurprisingly, coming from me. Lots of conversations between my action figures. But yeah, they must have fought at some point. So yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you for answering that question. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. Another thing that this episode... I'm really happy we ended on this episode because I feel like the characters were allowed to be characters as opposed to just, like, plot devices for mm-hmm. a lot of the time. I started zeroing in on the kind of everything's okay dialogue, or the let's just say a sentence and see if people get it dialogue. Because when, what's his name? Starfire?
There's Skyfire and Starscream.
Okay, Skyfire, the Decepticon former scientist who ends up helping the good guys. One of the humans is like, oh, it's so sad that he died. And Optimus Prime's line is, so long as freedom exists, we shall remember him.
Yeah.
That just feels like a random string of words that sounds really good.
I feel like I have to give some credit. I mean, obviously there's a lot of camp and cheese to it.
Yeah.
And very much that sense of like, oh, this is for kids, so there should be some morality.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just violence.
Right.
One of my favorite quotes in terms of like just bone chilling, like that feels too heavy to have come from children's media.
Right.
Is a Transformers comic quote.
Okay.
I've never read the comic. I've just seen the like image capture of this comic that went like very, very viral.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's a Decepticon. Maybe it's not. The line that they say in this comic is, they say, wisdom comes from great pain, and tonight I'm gonna make you so wise.
That's a good line.
It's a good line.
That's a good line.
And it's way too good to come from a Transformers comic.
That's a good line. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, either I could never tell if the line was good, or if the line was just filled with words that we like to hear together, or the line was just so excellently delivered because the voice work on Optimus Prime is phenomenal.
Yeah, that
voice, phenomenal.
That voice actor deserves some major kudos.
Major kudos.
Not saying other people aren't doing good. No. Like, Starscream has a very distinct voice, but it's grating. It's very grating.
I buy Optimus Prime. Like, the minute his voice comes out, I'm like, yep, he's in charge, he's super wise, he's a little old. Like, I hear it all in the voice. And so, I started pausing in that last episode we watched to kind of listen to the line and then, like, type out the line to be like, does this make sense or does it just sound really good? And that's the one where I was like, I think a lot of them just sound really good. So, yeah, so long as freedom exists, we shall remember him. So, like, when freedom's gone, like... We're gonna forget him? Like, what does that mean? And he wasn't fighting for freedom. Freedom didn't come up as a theme in that episode, like, at all. Like, not once.
Yeah, his whole thing was, like, I'm a researcher and an educator.
Yes.
And I shouldn't be, like, it doesn't make sense to fight people who are just trying to learn and...
Right, so yeah. so the line should have been, like, every time we pick up a microscope, we'll remember him. I don't know. Like, that, again, not a TV writer. Not being paid to do this. But that did give me pause. But overall, that was kind of it. Everything else, I was just like, this is cool. Oh, you know what was super cool? The we'll be right back for commercial animation. Why was that so good? It was so good.
That doesn't exist in TV shows anymore. It's a very 80s, 90s to have that, like, break slash intro clip for commercial breaks. And now it just goes.
It just goes. But the animation, the music, like, how fast it goes. Like, Transformers will be back in after these commercials. I was like,
it was very smooth.
Why is this so cool? I usually would be annoyed by that. I mean, now it was annoying to watch it on YouTube because those commercials were like for apps, and I was just like really taken out of the moment. I really wanted to watch some old commercials with it, but I just found that animation sequence to be so cool. It did kind of wrap it up, but like it did kind of leave me with the feeling that Transformers is good. But overall, Transformers is kind of just cool. It's just cool.
I can see that. Yeah.
It's not the writing. It's not the music. The concept's good. And the concept, like I said before, allows for so much mind play. Like, you can go so many different places with it. But at the end of the day, it's just cool. And that's not always a good enough reason for me to like a fandom, as you well know. Sometimes just because it's cool is just not enough, but this one it was, and that's pretty magical.
So how did you pair it?
Impossible to pair. And then I thought of the perfect pairing like a week later. It was so frustrating. So I sometimes just listen to a little voice in my head. She's very benign, everybody, don't worry about her. But as I was preparing, all I kept thinking was cold 911. Just drink cold 911.
Interesting.
And I was like, okay, why? So I just picked it. I think it was the kind of metallic quality that the eucalyptus and the juniper together brings.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's not like a metallic taste. It's a metallic quality or like a metallic impression that you'll get from certain peppermints, eucalyptuses, like that kind of freshness. I don't know. It just kind of reminded me of like cool metal. Just that's where I went with it. So that's how I paired it. And then I switched off in the third episode that we watched to another David's Tea, cardamom French toast, because that's when I got onto my, I need like a breakfasty.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Saturday morning.
Cinnamon toast crunch vibes. Right?
Exactly. Cinnamon toast crunch vibes. So I actually paired it with two things. I let it kind of evolve, but yeah, cold 911. Good pairing, honestly, very comforting cup. And then cardamom French toast, good pairing for that Saturday morning feel. I wish I'd done something else. I'll go after we hear how you paired it, but yeah.
I also had a real hard time picking something. I was like, I thought just enough knowledge that it should have been easy to like, oh, I'll go with something like transformative or like futuristic robot-y vibes. In 2000s, at that moment, I could not think of something. I also came to the same conclusion you did, like, 3 days after right. Watching, where I was like, ah, shit! what I landed on was a tea called Spike Tail from Tesaurus, okay. Which is a local Montreal tea company that does a whole bunch of fandom blends. This particular tea is inspired by Land Before Time.
Okay.
I picked it because where I landed was I wanted something maybe a little fruitier or more flavored with kind of like a punchy sort of vibe for like the bright colors and action sequences. Mm-hmm. And the name Spike Tail, based on the Autobot and Decepticon names I already knew, felt like it fit in really well.
Okay, yeah.
Pure coincidence that we ended up watching a dinosaur themed Transformers episode and the main human's name is Spike.
That's it's something else was guiding you in this pairing. Something larger.
So it ended up being way more of a better pairing than even I thought it was going to be, but it worked really well. Do you want to say the thing we both decided on later?
Why didn't I do a freaking blooming tea? Yeah. Or a transforming tea? Or the teas we had this summer, the tea gems?
Mm-hmm.
We have access.
Yeah. Literally 2 feet away from me right now is a box of blooming teas.
Yeah.
Like 9 different blooming teas.
It's the easiest pairing. It's the easiest pairing. And then we could have decided on, like, what type of flavor. There's so many things within that subcategory of transforming teas. A real missed opportunity. I really kicked myself in the butt for that. I was really, like, disappointed in myself.
No, I watched the episodes. I did our, like, What the Geek and Outline and all the research, like, two nights later. And I was walking to, like, go grab my kettle. And I literally walked by this box of blooming teas and was like, son of a bitch.
It's been right here the whole time.
So maybe try a blooming tea.
Maybe go with a blooming tea. I mean, I liked my pairings. Your pairing sounds delightful. But yeah, I think for Transformers, like, the real heart of it is, like, how cool it is. And transforming's cool. They're cool. So go for something kind of cool, I guess. Go for something kind of fun and different.
Are you going to keep watching?
No. No, like, I had a really good time going down that road again. But, like you said, the pacing is weird. You really have to pay attention every minute. And even if you do pay attention every minute, you're not going to get everything because there's nothing there. I'm really happy for the people of this fandom. I really am. I think I understand. I think having watched it gives me a greater appreciation of who they are, of how they are very into play and imagination and the dedication there. But I don't anymore. And I don't know where this franchise is going because the movies, I don't understand those movies. Like, I never know what's going on.
I feel like
So I can't join them at where they are right now.
I feel like the live action movies, from the limited knowledge I know, fans don't like the live action movies, right, at least where they are currently.
Right.
But there are multiple ongoing animated series still.
Oh, like, really?
There's several. Okay. And also, I believe at least one, maybe more, ongoing comic series.
Okay.
So I think the fandom is still fucking thriving. There are three, like Transformers themed conventions that are held.
Three. Wow. I would go to a Transformers convention, though. I don't know about Rewatch Re-Steep, but I would fucking dig going to a Transformers convention.
I bet the cosplay is
cool. I bet it's amazing.
The cosplay has to be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could rewatch, like, any more of this animated series. I think I'm at my limit with this series.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some of the dialogue from some of the comics, just because a bunch of it went viral for, you know, like, that line, etc., for being, like, really dark and mature. So maybe I would be curious to read at least one comic, see if, the pacing is better. Maybe there's more, care put into the actual transformations, which was a thing that I really felt was
missing
because it could add to the cool factor.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be open, but not necessarily, like, gonna go out of my way to seeing something more recent from this fandom.
I basically agree with you. I'm really happy for the people of this fandom. I'm really happy that we did it. I'm really happy that I know more, and end of list.
I'd agree with that.
Oh, man. Well, this has been delightful. I'm so happy we started up season 3. Do you have a teaser for, like, next week's? Or not next week, sorry. Next 2 weeks? Our next episode. Do you have a teaser for our next episode?
I think I'm going to leave it. I'll say two very broad things. Broad thing one, it's another animated fandom. So we're continuing that route. And I guess thing two is it's a fandom we've talked about on the podcast before. Okay. So if you're really determined, maybe you can figure out what it is based on those clues. If not, we will see you in 2 weeks' time for our next episode. And until then, you can hit us up on Instagram at GeekSteep. We don't post a whole lot. We're busy people. And let's be honest, I pay attention to my own Instagram way more than our Instagram.
Which is Ross Strange on Instagram.
However, I do respond to DMs. We are very, very good about answering our DMs. Or if you want to leave a comment on any of the older posts. I am very on top of that element.
And with that being said, I'm really excited for next time. See you next time, Kelly. See you next time, everyone.
Bye.